Let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew, again to the 13th chapter. And this is the second parable that Jesus spoke as he began to teach his people in parables. And these are truths that have to do with the kingdom of God. That is, they are laws, rules, regulations, prophetic utterances of things, situations that will occur in the kingdom of God. This is called the parable of the tares, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, No. Lest while we gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. We might puzzle a great deal about the truth of this parable, that is the teaching of the parable, but we have an explanation, we have an interpretation of the parable given by Jesus Christ. In verse 36, the Bible tells us that Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares, or the parable of the field. He answered and said unto them, this is his interpretation, He that soweth a good seed is the Son of Man, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. There are some things, and I believe it's important for us to approach the interpretation of this parable. Jesus already interpreted, but we want to try to understand it as well as we possibly can. In order for us to comprehend what Jesus is saying, I think we need to clear away, first of all, some of the interpretations of this parable that we may have heard. Now, first of all, I'd like for you to understand that this is not presenting to us the plan of salvation. It is not presenting to you and me how we may be saved. Now, in the parable of the sower, we have truths concerning how people hear the word of the kingdom. Now, it isn't presenting to us the plan of salvation. That parable does not present to us the plan of salvation. It is teaching us that some people hear the word of God and they don't care. And immediately the devil grabs the seed. Some people hear the word of God and with a lot of joy and jubilation, but they don't seem to last very long because the cares of the world come and they get, they just really soon lose their interest. And then there are those who love the word of God and receive it, but then the cares of the world grow up and choke out their interest and their participation in the kingdom of God. Then there are others that receive the word and produce 30, 60, 100 fold. That's not teaching the plan of salvation. It's teaching how people receive the word of God. It's teaching how people in this congregation tonight receive the word of the kingdom of God. That's right. It's teaching how people in this congregation receive the word of the kingdom of God. Now, what about the parable of the tares? It does not teach us how to be saved. It is not a presentation of the plan of salvation. Then there are those who say that this parable teaches us that we're not to judge. That the statement, "Let them both grow together until the harvest," teaches us that we're not to judge anyone or anything. And they connect this with the book of Luke, the 10th chapter, and verse 49 and 50. "And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us." Now, putting these two together, the parable of the tares and this statement of Jesus when John said there are some people out there doing some baptizing and they're not with us. That is, they're not in this group. And Jesus said, well, leave them alone, because if they're not against us, then they're for us. And people have said, now that's the way it is in the world. We're not to make any judgments about any kind of religious organizations in the world. We shouldn't say that's scriptural and that's unscriptural, because he that is not against us is for us. We need to understand the primary thing we need to understand is that there were no heretical churches when Jesus made this statement. There were no Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. There were no other church groups that passed themselves off as Christian groups when Jesus made this statement. There were only true New Testament scriptural groups. And it is true that they are to be independent of one another, and one can serve though another might not even know of its existence. And I thank God there are many churches that are serving the Lord that I've never heard of. But this was not a Mormon church that Jesus was talking about when he said, "He that is not against us is for us." He wasn't talking about all the denominations that have come into existence since Jesus organized his church. That's not what he's talking about. In fact, in Matthew chapter 7, and this is even the teaching of Jesus before this parable, you'll notice what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." But you say, Brother Penn, those people that Jesus is talking about there are not Christian groups. They're not people who use the name of Christian. Well, these are Buddhists, and these are Muslims. They certainly are not people who profess to be Christians, because if you just use the name of Jesus, I think God will bless you. Now look, verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Here are people who are calling Jesus Lord, Lord, but Jesus said they'll not enter into the kingdom of heaven. "Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" Here are people who are prophesying not in the name of Jesus, or rather not in the name of Buddha, not in the name of Muhammad, but in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said that they will claim to have cast out devils in his name. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, so the idea that we're not to ever say that someone isn't preaching the word of God is false. And this parable is not teaching us that we're not to judge, that just let everything grow together and Jesus will do the separating. That's true. But it has an entirely different context than what most people use it. There are some who say it teaches we're not to exercise or practice church discipline. You know, that in the church there will be good people and bad people and saved people and lost people, and we can't know the difference between the saved people and the lost people. But when the Lord comes back, then he'll separate in the church the saved people from the lost people. Now, this isn't true. This isn't what this parable is teaching. We are taught to exercise discipline in the epistles. And the epistles do not contradict what Jesus taught. They complement and follow through. And church discipline, that is separating people in the church, this is not what Jesus is talking about. Because the Bible tells us when Jesus explained this parable that he said the field is the world. He didn't say the field is the church. He said the field is the world. So the church is never referred to as the world. That's not my interpretation. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said the field is the world. And I've never known Jesus to refer to his church as the world. He always says, ye are not of the world. So this is not talking about church discipline. It's not talking about judging and forbidding us to judge, because Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. It isn't condemning church discipline. But it's giving us some principles and some truths that we need to know as we work and as we serve in the kingdom of God. It does teach us that Satan is an imitator. And that is taught in other places in the Bible. It teaches that Jesus began something while he was here on earth. And I think that was a church. And that Satan began a church, and that we can tell the difference. In verse 26, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. They recognized there were tares present when it came time for the wheat to fruit. That is, when the head appeared on the wheat, then you could tell that there was false wheat or bearded darnel among the real wheat. Now, while it was just beginning to grow, when it first came up, it might not have been that easy. But when it began to fruit, and isn't that what Jesus said? By their fruits ye shall know them. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared, that is, you could tell the difference between the wheat and the tares. Someone says you can't tell the difference between a false church and a true church, and that's not true. You can tell the difference. Another truth that this parable teaches is that the false and the true must not be separated by violence. When we recognize that there is a false church, a church that preaches a false plan of salvation, a church that preaches that the word of God is not true, and there are churches that preach that, and there are churches that preach a false plan of salvation, what are we supposed to do when we recognize that there is such a church in existence? Let it alone. You don't go down there and burn down the building and catch the people and try to prosecute them. You know, that's what's caused so much bloodshed over hundreds and hundreds of years, is so-called Christians who want to stamp out heresy by violence. And that's exactly what Jesus is forbidding here in this parable. It also teaches that someday the true and the false will be separated. Now let's elaborate on these things that I've said. Who sold? I think this is very important to the interpretation of this parable. Who sold the good seed? Now in the parable of the sower, the Bible tells us that a sower went forth to sow. Behold, in verse 3 of chapter 13, behold, a sower went forth to sow. So that is a parable that teaches that whenever the word of God is sown, no matter who sows it, behold, a sower, anyone who teaches and preaches the truth is a sower. But notice the interpretation that Jesus gave in verse 37. When they said, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Now this is something that Jesus did. It's not something that you do, and it's not something that I do, but this parable is teaching us that Jesus did something. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. That's Jesus Christ. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Now, this is not difficult for us to understand. We must accept the interpretation that Jesus himself placed upon this parable. We must look for something that Jesus did. A sower went forth to sow. That's something that Jesus did, but that you can do and I can do. But here the Bible tells us that he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. So this is not something that we do. It is something that Jesus did. I think that it means that Jesus took the children of the kingdom, people who had identified themselves with the coming kingdom. Who were these people? John preached, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How did you identify yourself as a believer in that kingdom that John preached? You submitted to John's baptism. And when Jesus came, he took the children of the kingdom and he planted them in the world. That's what the Bible says. Where did he sow this seed? Where did he plant this seed? Jesus said, the field is the world. Jesus started something in the world while he was here personally. For the Bible says, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. He did something. He left something. He planted something. He sowed something in the world. What was it? The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Now let's look at some of the other characters that are in this parable. Well, who are the tares then? If the good seed are the children of the kingdom, who are the tares? Jesus said, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. There isn't but one wicked one, and that is Satan. These are unconverted people. They are religious people, but unconverted people. They are not children of the kingdom. Now, who has sown or planted the children of the kingdom in imitation of what Jesus has done? The enemy that sowed them is the devil. Now, do you get the picture? Jesus Christ took the children of the kingdom and he planted them. And the devil took the children of the evil one, his children, and he planted them. And the Bible teaches us, by every way we want to look at this parable, that they, for outward appearance, looked the same. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. And the devil, Satan, has always imitated God. There is a holy Trinity and an unholy Trinity. Christ had apostles, but even in the days of Paul, Paul said that certain people were apostles of Satan. They were trying to pass themselves off as apostles of light, but in reality they were apostles of Satan. The Lord had no longer planted a true church than the devil became very actively involved and engaged in planting a false church. And they grew together. The tares are the children of the wicked one. Tares were bearded darnel, what we call false wheat. It did everything but produce an edible head of wheat. It even had all of the different characteristics at the head. The only thing is that when it ripened, it never bowed. I had one agronomist note one time that every grain, when it gets ripe, always bows its head before its maker. Corn, what does corn do when it gets ripe? Bows its head before its maker. Bearded darnel stands upright. It never bows its head. That's when the difference becomes very noticeable. In the fruit stage. Now the enemy has done this, and the Bible tells us that the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, that is, the time when the world ends, the end of the world system. Now, the end of the world system, as we know it, is the beginning of the 1,000 years of the reign of Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will sit upon the throne of his father David, ruling and reigning and controlling. That's when his kingdom will be visible. Now, I'm going to show you why that's true in just a minute. The reapers are the angels. And the Bible tells us that when the angels go out and close down the world system, and you read in the book of Revelation that there are angels that raise their hands and they literally stop time. And then the age of pretense must end. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. What's he talking about? Jesus said that when it comes time to reap the wheat field, then the person who cuts the wheat, and they used a hand scythe or sickle, when they were cutting the wheat, when they bound it into bundles, they would separate the tares from the wheat. They would bind the wheat and stack it in a place to be thrashed. They would bind the tares in a bundle and then build a fire in the midst of the field and burn the tares. Jesus said, at the end of the world, the Lord will send forth the angels and they will separate the tares from the wheat. This will be the harvest. And the wheat will be gathered, and the tares will be bound in bundles and burned. False institutions must answer to God, and there will be a time when all things which the Father hath not planted will be rooted up. This is the word of Jesus, Matthew chapter 15, verse 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Now he's talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the fact that they were teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. And Jesus said, don't worry about these people. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Verse 14, the very first phrase, let them alone. Why? They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Jesus said, let them alone. Whenever Peter, Simon, wanted to defend Jesus from false religion, and Peter unsheathed his sword and tried to cut off the head of one of the soldiers, Jesus healed the man when his ear was severed from his head. Jesus healed the man, told Peter to put up the sword, because the kingdom of God is not something that is defended by violence. Let them alone. One of the principal ways of identifying a Christian, or rather an unchristian system, is whether they have within them the spirit of persecution. If a group of people want to pass a law that makes it legal for them to have church but no one else to have church, they immediately identify themselves as terrorists. For such a spirit does not exist in the people of the kingdom of God. A persecuting church is not a true church of the living God. Now there's a reason for this separation of the wheat and the tares. And if we're not careful, we'll get the idea that the reason for the separation is just so the Lord could burn the tares. That isn't the reason. It wasn't the reason that Jesus gave. There's going to be that separation, but the separation isn't only for the destruction of the tares. There is a greater and more noble reason. In verse 43 of chapter 13, you'll notice that Jesus said in the conclusion of his teaching, Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. When shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father? Well, the Bible tells us that the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and that word is schisma, all divisions. All the things that are not the truth. And them which do iniquity. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. The world is not going to rejoice when false religion is finally exposed. When religious groups that have done many wonderful works in the name of Jesus, they have built hospitals, they have built schools, they have done many great works in the name of Jesus, but they preached a false plan of salvation. They preached salvation by works. They preached salvation by church membership. They preached salvation by receiving an ordinance. These people are going to be bitterly disappointed when they realize that what they've been doing is not adequate in the sight of God. They will cry out, "Lord, Lord, have we not in thy name prophesied? Have we not in thy name cast out many devils?" These are the false teachers who in the name of Jesus have run their way and ignored the word of God. Now Jesus said, there's going to be a time come when things are going to be righted. Who's getting the attention of the world today as far as religion is concerned? Who's being held up as the people who are doing what's right? And who's being ridiculed as narrow-minded? People who have no compassion. People who do not care. Ignorant fundamentalists, people who have no education, people who have no learning. Read the religious section of the Arkansas Gazette. Read John Workman's writings. When Brother Spurgeon was talking to one of the salesmen about getting an article in the paper that we were buying with money, he suggested maybe that Mr. Workman would want to look at our church and maybe write an article about it. He told John, "There's nothing to write. Y'all don't do any. I mean, what do you do that's different? I mean, all you do is have church, preach, sing, go home. Nothing to write about. We'd never write about a church like that." You know what? See? But if we brought a casket to the parking lot of this church and parked a hearse by that side door, and if we advertised on a Sunday morning we were going to raise that body from the dead, we'd have more reporters here than we could put in the building. They're getting the attention today. All of the false religions, they've got the money. They've got all of the world's attention. They look at us, and if they had their way, they would put their foot on us like a man stomps an ant. The world would shut us up. They would spit on us. But the Bible says, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom I'm their Father. One day truth will be exalted. One day God's true people will be revealed. One day all of the hypocrisy, one day all of the pretense will be stripped aside, and everything that is not built upon the Word of God, every plant that the Heavenly Father has not planted, will be rooted up. Why did Jesus say, let them grow together? Because if one religion is rooted up by violence, it will cause the others to suffer. In other words, violence begets violence. Whatever we sow, we'll reap. If we are in power, if suddenly we come to power as the state church with the power of the sword in our hand and the control of the president or the prime minister, suddenly we came to power and we could say, look, we want those denominations, we want their doors nailed shut. We don't want those people to be allowed to preach. When we by force and violence uproot the tares, we set the stage by which we also shall be rooted up. Besides, that's not the way you know what's true. The true owner of a horse is not always the man who sits in the saddle. And the true owner of an automobile is not always the man that's in the driver's seat. And the true church cannot be judged by what the world calls success. Jesus said, let them both grow together, and I'll take care of it when I come again. We can know the wheat from the darnel. Truth is truth and error is error, and we may know the difference. We cannot use violence against any institution. Jesus said, let them grow together. Jesus said, let them alone. It is something that God will take care of at the end of this world. We have the weapon that God wants us to use against false religion, and it's this book right here. That's it. You say, well, couldn't we just maybe hit them with a stick? No. Or couldn't we just burn them out? No. This is the only weapon that God has given us, the sword of the Spirit. So when we see false religion succeeding, it ought not to surprise us. When we see it existing, it ought not to surprise us. Because after Jesus started his church, Satan, in a very short period of time, sowed the seeds and began his church. You know, it might have been on up in 100 A.D. before there began to be a difference. Might have been 150 A.D. before there was really, you know, a fruition of institutions. We know somewhere around 250 A.D. the difference was of such a nature that the church is split. The wheat recognized the darnel. And now that false and the true have been growing together, side by side. Sometimes violence against God's people. But they're here. But one day they'll be separated. I pray to God that you would know the truth, that you would identify yourself with the truth.